The Boston Celtics split with the Detroit Pistons over the weekend. I'll talk about it. And we get a cameo from the Locked On Pistons podcast on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Miller, let's go. Rainer J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales, I cover the team, I host this podcast, and I'm the author of the book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Get it now at online booksellers everywhere. If you're new, this is a daily podcast, so I'm here for you Monday through Friday. You regular listeners, I love that you've given this show five-star ratings and good written reviews. You've made it the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. A little bit different in today's post-game or games podcast. Segment one, still the good. Segment two, still the bad. Segment three, joined by Matt Shook, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, to get a little bit of an outsider look at the weekend from our opponent. Thought that would be a nice touch. We had an opportunity to do it. So that's going to be coming up in segment three. So let's just get right to it. Segment one is the good. And what more good can we get out of this weekend than Jaylen Brown? 56 combined points over the two games on 25 of 36 shooting, which is just insanity. 31 points, 3 assists, a rebound, 13 for 16, 5 of 8 from 3 in game 2 on Sunday afternoon. Jaylen Brown, I don't know what else to say. He's cooking, man. He's just cooking. This season is Jaylen Brown's season right now. It's early, obviously, and I'm sure he's going to hit a rough patch because every player does. But he has just shown a smoothness. He has shown control. He has shown no carryover from anything bad, which I think has been one of the problems that had plagued him in the past. He kind of let bad things linger. And maybe one of Jaylen Brown's biggest developments as a player is the fact that he doesn't seem to let those things linger anymore. So it's really great to see Jaylen go out there. He missed a shot in game one that would have tied the game late. Game two, he hits a shot, same spot, same scenario, that puts the Celtics up two late in the game. So he bounces back. He doesn't let those things get on him. I do think that he needs to tighten up his defense. I think the Celtics' perimeter defense in general needs to be tightened up, but I think generally he's done pretty well. But offensively, he's just been out of control. Out of control. The other good is Marcus Smart in the fourth quarter of the second game on Sunday. I thought Marcus Smart was in control. He was leading this team. He comes in with about 6.5 minutes to go, and he has a 6 point, 3 assists, 2 assists, kind of finish to the game, 17 and 10 assists overall. I thought Marcus Smart did a great job controlling that fourth quarter. There were a couple of instances where he had opportunities to take three-pointers that I feel like in the past he would have taken those. But this year, with a new focus on, hey, I'm the point guard, I'm leading this team, I have to get people set up, I have to make sure that we're running an efficient offense. He upfakes. There's one play where he upfaked, sidestepped, kind of looked like he was going to take a three there too. Kind of head and shoulder. The guy goes by him. So next thing you know, Smart's driving into the lane with two defenders behind him now. And he takes a nice little easy shot in the middle of the lane to, I think at that point, tie the game. He had a couple of nice assists. He assisted on Jason Tatum's game winner. He really was in control. And for a guy that's spent his most of his career, I don't want to say not in control, but, you know, Marcus Smart heat checks were a real thing. And he still obviously heat checks from time to time, but those have gone away a lot. He's done very, very well. 10 assists in this game. He really did a nice job, I think, controlling the tempo, running good fourth quarter offense. The Celtics actually executed in the fourth quarter and didn't completely devolve into ISO. And they're playing a Pistons team that I was very impressed with. High energy. There might not be the best players. It might not be the best combination of players. But they're playing hard right now. Jeremy Grant was really good. And I thought that Smart really was in control. And that fourth quarter, they needed to be in control. They needed that execution. It was great. Similarly, Jason Tatum, not just the game winner, but let's start with the game winner. Gets the ball from Marcus Smart. They get the switch. He makes a quick, decisive move. One hard dribble right past Blake Griffin. Pulls up confidently. Splash. Decisiveness with the ball was spectacular. To get that situation, to understand who's in front of him, that Blake is not who he was, is not going to keep up with Jason Tatum. To have all that and see it, recognize it, make the move quick, no jab steps, no nothing. That's important. Now, they left almost 3 seconds left on the clock, but in that situation, you do want to give yourself an opportunity to rebound the ball. And so I think that was good. They did a great job. Tatum had a block a couple plays before that to save a basket. And technically, I think he got a block shot on that last that was going to be a heave from, yeah, he's got two blocks in the night. 24 points, two blocks, 10 of 22 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3. And very importantly, a career-high 12 assists. So two big defensive plays, the game winner, and that three-point shot that he assisted on to Jaylen Brown with 34 seconds left. That's just, these are the three guys that the Celtics are going to need. They're going to need to rely on. And they all performed and performed well down the stretch. We can say what we want about, you know, they should have done this, they should have done that. The Pistons, we say this, it doesn't matter that they're a bad team. They're an NBA team, which means they do have NBA players. And those NBA players came out, played hard, played well. They weren't missing shots. They were not missing shots. And so the Celtics had to execute in order to avoid a collapse, in order to avoid another loss. And they did. A few other just bullet point good things before I wrap up this segment. Daniel Theis hitting shots. This is a key for the Celtics. Now, 7 of 8 and 1 of 2 from 3. Like, that's 7 of 8's not going to happen for Daniel Theis all the time. But even 4 of 8 would be great. 5 of 8 would be amazing. This is just bonus. Daniel Theis making shots changes the dynamic of the Celtics. He needs to make shots. I'll talk about it a little bit in the next segment, but the double big lineup needs Daniel Theis to make shots for it to reach its potential. And one of the things is that he hasn't, and defenses haven't respected that. So Daniel Theis hitting shots here was really good. Shemi Ojeleye, huge fourth quarter buckets. Just all of a sudden, just dropping three-pointers, just one after another after another. He was 3 of 4 in the fourth quarter. He led the Celtics in fourth quarter scoring with 9 points. That's insane. The Boston Celtics were carried offensively by Semi Ojeleye and Marcus Smart with a combined 15 points. They had half of Boston's points in that fourth quarter. So, but got a shout out Semi for hitting the shots. And finally, I have to mention Peyton Pritchard's defense, who he's just relentless. That kid is relentless. He just doesn't stop. He's not as good as some of the people that he's ahead of, I don't think, but he makes himself good by effort, just effort alone. He plays at a different speed. Somebody tweeted that, and I don't forget who it was, but I'd love to take credit for this, but someone else said it. I wouldn't be surprised if Peyton Pritchard gets knocked in the jaw a few times from people who are pissed off by how much he's hounding them. It's true. I think that Peyton Pritchard's just, he's come in and he's earned his minutes. So good for him. Up next, the bad and a little bit of that double big lineup and the Jeremy Grant problem. That's all next. The Celtics were big betting favorites in that first game, especially. 8.5 points was the spread. If you went to betonline.ag and you bet on the Pistons, you would have made a couple of bucks there. BetOnline.ag is the one place that has you covered. It's the one place that we trust here on Locked On. Sign up today. You'll get a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus. It's like a win once you sign up. So check it out. NFL playoffs are now here soon, because I know the Patriots season is over. So we're heading into the playoffs. It's a great time for betting on these games. Prop bets, there's in-game betting. Same thing with the NBA. Now that we're starting to get a sense of who teams are, you can bet on different things like third quarter scoring, stuff like that. It's all on betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Go ahead and get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. It's a wrap on 2020, thank God. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. So if you're betting this year and want a few more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast. Your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports host the show. They're picking college basketball, football, NBA locks all winter long, so subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Now on to the portion of the podcast where I look at the bad. And let me just throw game one of this Pistons miniseries into this column. The whole thing. The Celtics came out flat. They paid for it. The Pistons were jacked up. And the Celtics looked bad. They looked bad out of the gate. They looked bad when they were faced with trying to defend the young, hungry Pistons. Sadiq Bey looked great. I said something about Aaron Nesmith because he's not playing, and Sadiq Bey looked great in game one. Probably not fair to Aaron Nesmith, but you know, Sadiq Bey selected 19th. I thought, wow, man, he looks good. Looks exactly like what the Celtics need. Now, that was really Sadiq Bey's only good game of the season overall. His first good game of the season. He was not as good. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't as good in game two with 6 points and 3 rebounds and 2 assists. In that first game, he had 17 points, 7 rebounds and an assist, 2 steals. So he was obviously a very big factor, 5 of 8 from 3. But that's what happens. You come out and you think you're better than the other team. It was the day after. It was New Year's Day, so who knows what kind of partying went on the night before. You know, Brad Stevens says he was in bed by 10:30, so the coaches were out of the celebration early. That means the players probably had a lot of fun afterwards. They did like this, what do they call it? Is it a Yankee swap or a white elephant swap or whatever it is, where everybody gets a gift and, you know, the first, whoever goes before you, like, you can take their gift. So poor Marcus Smart had a 12-year-old whiskey, and someone jacked it from him, and he ended up with a karaoke machine. And the joke in the entire game one was, well, we know where the whiskey went, because Jason Tatum spent most of that game, that first half of the game, just terrible. He rebounded and finished the game with 28 points, but didn't shoot well. 3-11 from three, and the first half was just gross. But this effort, the bad effort, is part of what dooms the double big lineup. Now, that's just a big topic right now, double bigs. Everybody, whenever at the beginning of a game, beginning of the third quarter, whenever something goes wrong, invariably somebody's going to tweet out, oh, this double big lineup, man, it sucks. And okay, I'm going to tell you, it's not been great. It's not been good. But there are people who I think just want to say the double big lineup sucks. And it happened in this third quarter in the Sunday game, where they came right out and there were a couple of turnovers right away. And people were like, oh, this lineup. It had nothing to do with the lineup. The turnovers weren't even any of the bigs. Let's see. The turnovers, I'm going to look up the play-by-play. The third quarter started with Jaylen Brown, turnover, Marcus Smart, turnover. And people were immediately like, this double big lineup sucks. But it wasn't them. It was Jaylen and it was Marcus Smart. Sometimes that is what's happening with this lineup. These guys are the perimeter players make mistakes. The Celtics perimeter defense has not been great, I'll say. There are a couple times in the Sunday game where Tatum and Brown both leaned in to try to get steals on kickouts to the corner. They both missed, and then they're way out of position. Now, yeah, you want to get your hand in the passing lane, but they like were down, bent over, and like lurched for steals. Can't do that. You got to be low, knees bent, hands out. And then if you want to reach to try to get a steal, okay, fine. But your balance is such that you can recover. Oh, I didn't get the steal. Boom. A little flip. Now you're guarding a guy. These guys were like they were diving for a pass on the sidelines. Like, it was just not great. And the lack of effort, the first quarter of game one, where the team was completely flat, was that big double big lineup was outscored by 11. The third quarter of the first Indiana game, Celtics were outscored by 14. That crappy third quarter where they were just kind of sleepwalking. Outscored by 14 when that double big lineup. Third quarter in Indy game two, double big lineup. Plus 7 in the first quarter when they came out great. And then in the third quarter, when they kind of lackadaisical, minus 7 in less than 4 minutes. This double big lineup, you have to have execution. You have to has to be crisp. Everybody's going to be in the right spots. I did a whole big thing on RedsArmy.com. You have to, the double big lineup, it has to be effort. And it has to be the right guys making the right plays in the right spots on the floor. And they have to cover for each other, especially because Daniel Theis is playing the four and he's taking on new responsibilities that make him just a tick slow. And in a game like this, another bad thing, anytime Daniel Theis was on Jeremy Grant, he was roasted. Just roasted. No chance. Anytime Jeremy Grant sees Daniel Theis, just it's a blow by. It was bad. But that's what he's kind of forced to do. That's one of the downsides of this double big lineup. Is sometimes it's not going to work against certain matchups. And putting Tyson in that position was just unfair. But the other thing that the Celtics were missing, the other person the Celtics were missing, Javonte Green, out with the health and safety protocols, which I assume was contact tracing or something. He has to quarantine because of a contact. I don't think he tested positive. But Javonte Green might have been a better option to start in this game. The Celtics don't have any other wings that could defend, so they kind of had to go double big. So go to RedsArmy.com, read the whole thing I did on the double big lineup. I thought it was, just as I looked at it, it confirmed that you need solid effort all the time, 100% of the time. It's got to be crisp, got to be moving. But also, there are ways for it to work. And we saw like the bad side of it in this weekend. We saw some of the good of this weekend. So one last thing here for the bad. Free throws. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, no free throws on Sunday. And you go back to Friday, Tatum was 3 of 5. Jaylen Brown, no free throws. And yeah, I'm sure that they got fouled somewhere. And maybe there were some missed calls. But look, this is starting to become a bit of a trend here. The Boston Celtics need to be drawing fouls. They need to find a way to draw fouls. They can't go through these games without taking free throws. You can't rely on shooting 56% from the field, because that's just not going to happen. Now, maybe we don't want the Celtics taking free throws because for some reason they can't hit them. They were, on Friday, 7 of 14, 9 of 13 on Sunday. Marcus Smart did a great job. He was 6 of 6. But Tristan Thompson, 2 of 4. Daniel Tice missed one. Robert Williams, 1 of 2. But no other guards. Tatum, no. Brown, no. Pritchard, no. Teague, no. Ojale, no. And some of those guys aren't going to be foul drawers, but Tatum and Brown need to. It's just something that they need to find a way. And I don't know what it is. I really don't have the answer right now. But the Celtics, if they're going to have any sort of efficient offense, they're going to have to get to the free throw line. It's as simple as that. Up next, we get the other side's perspective. Matt Shook from Locked On Pistons joins the show to tell us what he saw over the weekend. So grab yourself a Built Bar and get ready for a very good segment. Built Bar is the most delicious protein bar that I've ever had. I talk about it all the time. I literally buy them myself with my own money because I like them. I'll have them after a workout. If I go to the gym and lift, it's great to get this protein in my body to help the muscle build. When I go and I do my cardio, I know that the bar that I'm eating only has 180 calories. It's not going to blow out what I did on the elliptical machine. So my peanut butter one, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. They are all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on one of those keto diets, this is it. This is what you want. It's perfect. You can have a protein bar too. So whether you're looking to lose weight, maintain weight, or indulge in a nice snack that's not going to kill you, this is what you want. They come in nuts or no nuts. So if you've got an allergy, still covered. Check it out. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. If you want to start small, buy one box to see, that's fine, because you can go back another time when you want to reorder and use the promo code locked on. You could use it multiple times and you're going to get 20% off at builtbar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Celtics on a back-to-back. They face Toronto in Tampa. You gotta remember, they're going to Tampa to play the Toronto Raptors. So that's kind of a crappy back-to-back to go from Detroit down to Florida, but I'll be here talking about it after the game. So make sure you are subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast if you have not done so yet. Also, make sure to listen to our opponents. So Locked On Raptors tomorrow, you want to listen to them after you listen to this show to get a sense of what you can expect from the Raptors. Also, Locked On Pistons. It's a good show. Locked On Pistons has the Pistons all covered Monday through Friday, just like this one. In fact, I asked Matt Shook to join me to talk about this weekend's games. All right, Matt, it's a hell of a weekend here for the Detroit Pistons. This was not what I expected out of the Pistons to lose and then have to come down to a Tatum game winner. So, I mean, first things first, you got to be happy with the performance that the Pistons put forth.
Pistons fans are dancing in the streets on Sunday night here with the weekend split against the Boston Celtics. No, but in all seriousness, team came into the weekend at 0-4 with some tough losses. You need to get that first win. You don't want to go to 0-9, 0-12, whatever you want to go. And with the Boston Celtics coming in town, certainly 0-6 was a likelihood coming out of Sunday. So getting the win on Friday night, and then even more impressively, coming in and beating the Celtics on Friday, and then knowing that they're going to want some revenge and that Brad Stevens will make some adjustments and all that. But to play nose to nose with them for four quarters, particularly to have the young lineup there in the middle of the third quarter to the middle of the fourth quarter and really beyond, because some of those young guys stayed in the game. I thought that maybe the middle of that third quarter, the Pistons probably run out of gas and the Celtics run away with a 15-point win. But that was not the case, and it went right down to the end. Jason Tatum makes the play there with a couple seconds to go and then makes the play defensively as well. And for a team like the Pistons, obviously he was thinking about the lottery order, the draft order, maybe a split over the weekend. It might be best case scenario, all things considered.
Yeah, I can see that. And really, I was surprised by the competitiveness from the Pistons. And, you know, and frankly, if Blake Griffin doesn't play in this game, you might have won that game. Like, I don't think Blake Griffin did anybody any favors for you know, his performance. So I guess thanks, Blake, because that he was just passive. I barely saw him do anything. That was kind of wild. But
that is part of the awkward season that we have here in Detroit, because Troy Weaver brings in the young guys, as he should, with the rebuild going on. And if you've listened at all, I know that Celtics fans probably pay very little attention to the Pistons. And what you've heard were these very unusual moves that they made this offseason, you know, stretching contracts, signing big money, a couple of big money free agents that don't really align with the traditional way of how to build teams. And certainly, and I was one that ripped Troy Weaver along with most national pundits. But one thing positive that Troy Weaver did do this offseason is get a little bit of a culture change. I mean, Celtics fans know just as good as anyone that the Detroit Pistons are built on defense and toughness and all that. And that's what the fans want here. You know, this team has been abandoned by the general Detroit sport fan base years ago, and trying to bring that back is a long process. And players like Jeremy Grant, who might, you know, a little bit of a strange signing, but Josh Jackson and the rookies that they brought in, particularly Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey, are guys that really fit that Pistons DNA. Now, Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin, two guys certainly on the downside of their careers, guys that are former MVPs and MVP candidates, where do they fit into this whole thing, particularly because they're such ball-dominant players when they're in there? They both have had rough starts to the season, although Blake is hitting the three really well to start the year. How do they transition into the next phase of their careers as surely complementary players if they want to go ring chase or maybe be on good teams down the road? So, yes, awkward because the young guys providing some defense and some energy. You want to be in games, but you probably don't want to win a lot of games, because there is meaningful reasons to be in the bottom three or maybe even the bottom one of the NBA. And just how that all kind of fits together makes for a weird Locked On Pistons episode day in and day out, that's for sure.
Well, I always love getting the outsider perspective on the Celtics, because the Celtics are in this weird place that they're not the team that they're going to be when, you know, the playoffs roll around. This is not the final version. We know that they've got the traded player exception that they're going to
try to figure out. And obviously Kemba, they hope it was going to come back and be his normal self. And there are still some other guys missing. So knowing that the Celtics are an incomplete team, how do you, when you saw this team come in and you're expecting potentially two losses and maybe a bit more of a revenge game in this one, what are your impressions of watching the Celtics and what they, what basically just how do they look?
Yeah, first of all, I was more impressed with what the Pistons did this past weekend than, you know, if I'm a Celtics fan, you know, you get away with a win, you're 4-3 right now. And I know that's not where you want to be. And anytime you lose to a team like Detroit, it's a tough weekend. But this is basically kind of what I expected from the Celtics at this point. You've written about it, and I know you probably talk about it all the time too, with the two bigs starting right now and even closing at times offensively. That's probably not your finishing five when Kemba Walker comes in there. One of those guys gets kicked to the bench, and it is kind of nice to see the Celtics finally, I guess, kind of a net positive when centers, when you throw all three of those guys into the mix. Now, you might rather have one very good player as opposed to three kind of good players. And I'm a Tristan Thompson fan. I've always liked him. I thought that was a nice pickup for the Celtics here. But I will say, and this is kind of my maybe my more big picture look at the Celtics, is I feel like Danny Ainge could do no wrong for like a several year span there. And I'm not saying anything that Celtics fans don't know, and the accumulation of picks, and they hit, you know, three straight, I think it was, just outstanding picks there in the first round. But I just, since then, I'm just kind of waiting for what's that next really good Danny Ainge move. It's like you've got all these spare parts, all these picks that have turned into players that you could see possibly turning into something down the road. But it feels like this team needs like one, maybe even one and a half more real contributors to this team at some point off the bench. Now, there's a lot of parts out there that the team like the Pistons would love to have and love to feel like could grow into something, especially maybe even more notably those picks before they're turned into whatever prospect they are. So, yes, you talked about the TPE for the Celtics there too. Certainly some good pieces up and down that roster that could excite a team like the Pistons. So, yeah, I do wonder what that next Danny Ainge move is to round out this rotation with guys that are very, very useful. Now, Peyton Pritchard looks like a really good find late in the first round. You know, time will tell in terms of whether you want him playing big playoff minutes for you down the road. Semi Ojeley, I know, is a guy who does some nice things out there, but I don't know that you necessarily want him playing big minutes in the second half of playoff games come that time as well. So, yeah, I do think that there's a Danny Ainge move to make. But, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, just so impressed with those guys, as you are every year come playoff time. And this weekend even, Jaylen Brown has turned into just such a very good player. And those guys are two-way guys that we like to see here in Detroit, and the kind of guys that we're molding our team around after having no great two-way long wings. Now suddenly – Jeremy Grant's here, Josh Jackson's here, Sadiq Bey's here. So kind of modeling our way as an organization around a Celtics type of team who's been doing this for many years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in consecutive drafts, but you like, no one really knew exactly how good these guys would be back right then. People will pretend to know, and people will say, oh, I always believed that they could, but this Jason Tatum and this Jaylen Brown has been just a revelation this year. I mean, you've watched him come into Detroit, you know, year after year. When you watched him in this second game, what was it? Well, what were your impressions of Jaylen just as he was just hitting everything?
Yeah, and from our perspective, Jeremy Grant comes in here, and he's, like I said, the best two-way guy that they've had in many years, and they went toe-to-toe in the first half. That's as good as Jeremy Grant's played as a member of the Pistons, and he's been great, you know, these last five games. But the fact that Jaylen Brown outscored him in the first half, and that's as good as Jeremy Grant's going to play. And Jeremy Grant is a very good defender. I mean, that's a tough assignment. I mean, say, you know, the Detroit Pistons are still an NBA team. There are positive players right on this team and guys that have positive traits. So, you know, just because you're scoring 31 on the Detroit Pistons doesn't mean that Jaylen Brown didn't go out and have a great game that he would have against a lot of other teams as well. Dwayne Casey said it after the game that – Someone was at, you know, Blake Griffin struggled on the final play, obviously, against Jason Tatum, and then Sadiq Bey didn't get out far enough on him, and Jaylen Brown had 13 of 16 from the field. So obviously he was doing a lot of what he wanted to do. But Dwayne Casey said himself, like, I'd like to see how every team in the NBA does against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown this year. I mean, it's not like even the good teams, the great defensive teams that might be out there come playoff time, those guys are going to get their buckets and get their attention. And Jaylen Brown, just the way that he was taking his game to the next level. Again, in Detroit, there's nothing we love more than a player that hangs his hat on defense at the beginning of his time in the league and develops more and more offensively as time goes on. And Jaylen Brown's doing that. I think he's an all-star. I mean, we'll see as time goes on. But 35 minutes, 13 of 16. And the fact that he, you know, misses the jumper to send it into overtime the other night and then goes out and hits basically the replica of that shot in the last minute there. Just can't be more impressed with those guys. And, again, the Pistons are kind of in some ways, they haven't said this, but in my mind, you're like modeling your team around a modern franchise like Boston.
It's cool, man. Well, I appreciate that outsider perspective, especially after two really tough games. I was really impressed by the Pistons, and, you know, I was, you know, leading the charge, making the Pistons jokes in free agency. Sure. So it was, you know, to see that combination of young guys, to see Jeremy Grant play the way he did, I was really impressed. You know, it's one thing to be bad. Okay, you're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. But to play hard and try to play the right way, it was really cool to see. So,
And from the Pistons fan base perspective, to get your first win against the Boston Celtics, sure, is always a good thing. So sure, we love that here in Detroit. And hey, maybe someday when maybe you guys are maybe still near the top of the Eastern Conference and we're on the come up, if that's a couple few years from now, maybe we'll do a playoff series again sometime. We'd love to have that here in Detroit.
That's Celtics Pistons playoff series are always fun. Always mm-hmm. fun. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Again, Matt does a great job there on Locked On Pistons. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt_Shook_. And that name is S-C-H-O-C-H. Follow him at Locked On Pistons as well. You can see how his name is spelled. Just click on it there to follow him through that. You can also follow me on Twitter, Reds_Army_John. Hit me up. I always love to talk to people during games, after games, whenever. I do like to interact, so follow me on Twitter. Subscribe to the show if you have not done so yet. If this is your first time, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Regular listeners, you know that 5-star rating and a good written review, if you haven't done that, it's really, really helpful. Everyone else's ratings and reviews have made this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. And the other way you can help is by sharing and telling everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.